Oh, please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Romans 7, 15 through 25. Please remember the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to the Roman Christians that he dearly loved but that he had never actually met. And from early on, Paul felt the need to show us how dire of a situation we're all in apart from Christ. And so Paul spoke about the wrath of God, and he showed us that God's wrath is both revealed and deserved by both Jew and Gentile, because we're all guilty as a people and as individuals. We all deserve wrath, and our rebellion against God incites that wrath. And so Paul showed that to us. Being a Jew doesn't save anyone, and circumcision doesn't save anyone, and your heritage won't save anyone, and being a good person won't save anyone, because none of us are good. And none of these things can pay the just and eternal wages of our sin. Instead, Paul very bluntly showed us that we're all wicked, right? And we're desperate, and we're totally depraved, and we're all lost in our sin, and nothing that we can do will save us from the wrath that we also rightfully deserved, and Paul nailed that point. But there's good news, right? And the good news is that for all who believe, God justifies us by faith and declares us righteous. He redeems us from the slave market of sin. And in Christ, God's wrath against us is satisfied. Amen? Praise the Lord. It is satisfied. How? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's it. Not by works. Not by works. Chapter 4, Paul drove home the point that it's faith alone that saves. And then in chapter 5, Paul showed us how just as Adam brought sin and death to us, so Christ brings forgiveness and life. And while sin abounded, grace abounds even more in Christ. And that's the best news that any sinner like us could ever hear. Jesus saves, and in Him, we die to the old life of sin and death, and He makes us brand new. Result, now that you're brand new, live for His glory, of course. Right? Therefore, in chapter 6, Paul spoke about sanctification, the outflow of justification, the outflow that comes once you've been truly saved. See, once you've been saved, declared righteous by grace through faith, you then begin the process of walking in Christ and of growing in holiness until He takes you home. It's a lifelong process. It's a never-ending process until we arrive, until we die and He glorifies us, but we keep going for the glory of God in our sanctification. Whoever it is that God justifies, He sanctifies more and more and more. Therefore, we won't go on sinning so that grace may abound, because we can't. We love Him too much, and it's contrary to our new life in Him. So, exercise yourself in godliness. Use the means that God gives you to grow. And move ahead from glory to glory in Christ. That's the call, but it's not so easy, right? Anybody? It's not so easy. Here in chapter 7, Paul gets very personal with us when he talks about his own battle against the sin that still hounds even him as a saved man and as a man of God. Let's find out what Paul says next, and we'll start in verse 14 for context. Romans chapter 7. Verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. The good that I will to do, that I do not do, and the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. We'll stop here for now. And here in this passage, we see really four laments from the Apostle Paul. The first lament, which we looked at last week, was this: I am unspiritual. I am carnal. I am fleshy. Verse 14. Please remember that in this passage, Paul is speaking as a mature believer, not as an unbeliever and not as an immature believer. No, this is Paul in his current condition as a man of God who earnestly wants to please God in every possible way. And he's incredibly frustrated that he still has to battle sin in his life. And we're going to see that as we go through these laments. He's saying the same thing over and over and over again. And while we walk in victory, and we do, and while we can take ground in His thing, and we should, It's still incredibly frustrating that we won't arrive this side of heaven and that we won't be able to conquer sin in our daily lives completely. And that makes Paul very unhappy. And it should make us, it should make every believer who loves and wants to please the Lord in every way unhappy as well in that situation with the sin and the battle that we have to face. It should frustrate us because we love the Lord so much and we hate sin so much, you see. Paul got it. I'm unspiritual. I am fleshy. I don't like it. Anybody? Come on, right? The second lament, I don't understand what I do. Come on, anybody? Verse 15, for what I am doing, I don't understand. What I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I don't understand what I do. In other words, Paul, he found himself doing things that he didn't approve of. In this passage, it's not so much that Paul wants to do one good thing and he can't do that one good thing, but here Paul is talking about the law, and when Paul sees God's law, when he sees God's standard, he wants to do all of it and he can't do all of it. See, he's not talking about one specific thing that he can't do. He's talking about the whole law of God that he wants to obey in every way, and he's frustrated that he can't obey all of it. And it's not that sin wins all the time in Paul's life, not at all. But Paul has such a high standard for himself that whenever he falls short, it's seen in him as a terrible defeat. And he's frustrated about that to no end. You know, that's a mark of a truly spiritual follower of Christ. Not that he sees his own self-glory, but he sees his own wretchedness. Not, I'm good, I'm spiritual, I'm way better than you. But I'm a sinner, I fall short, and I am broken before holy God. It's a person who cries out, Lord, I can't be everything that you want me to be this side of heaven. I am unable to fulfill your holy and perfect law completely. It's that person that's truly spiritual minded. We need to understand this. We need to see how unspiritual we really are so we can then praise God for His incredible, amazing grace in our lives every single day. We need to see that were it not for the grace of God, we'd all be doomed even now. And we need to see that the last thing we should do is look down on other people and compare ourselves with other people and draw the false conclusion that we are oh so spiritual, because that's not the issue. The issue is, how do you measure up to Christ? And then, of course, we praise God for His grace. And Paul, he had that view. He always hated sin in his life, every single sin. He was never content with it. He never accepted it. He never settled for it. He kept battling it to the very end until he went home. And that's why he says what he says. Paul goes on to say that it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me. Now please note that here Paul is not trying to escape personal responsibility for a sin. Not at all. Paul would never do that. Paul is not saying, I didn't do it. No, it was the sin in me that did it. I'm not responsible for what I did. It's not my fault. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. It's not my new nature that gave into this sin. It's the sin in me that is still holding on to me that did it. It's not an excuse either. Since I've been saved, it's no longer the real me, the new me, the recreated me that does it, but it's the sin that dwells in me that does it. That's just the reality, and the conflict here is between the new you in Christ and the fleshy part of you that is still present within you. Isn't that true? That's the battle here, because the new you is perfectly holy in every way and can meet all the demands. But we have battled this flesh, and it's pulling the other way, and that's where the battle lies. See, when we give our lives to Christ, we become brand new, right? Right? Amen? And here Paul is saying, it's not the new me that gave into the sin, it's the fleshy part of me. But Paul isn't saying he's not responsible for his sin at all. He's simply telling us that he's in this battle with the sin that's still clinging to him. That's where the battle lies, and it's a very real battle. I've heard it said that after salvation, sin is like a deposed and exiled ruler. And while it no longer reigns in a person's life, it still manages to survive. And therein lies the battle. Question, do you lament the reality of sin in your life today? Do you really lament it? Because Paul did, and he's an example for us. I hate it. I hate it. I'm going to battle it till my dying breath. The third lament goes like this. Nothing good lives in me. Verse 18, I know that in me that is in my flesh. Key, nothing good dwells, for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Now, please remember that Paul has been making a distinction here between the new him in Christ and the fleshy part of him. In my flesh, he says, in my humanness, in that part of me where sin still hangs on, in that part of me that allows sin to operate in my life, nothing good dwells. That's what he's saying. And while we in Christ aren't in the flesh anymore, we are in Christ. Guess what? The flesh is still in us. See? So Paul isn't saying that he isn't filled with the Holy Spirit. No, because he is filled with the Holy Spirit, as all Christians are. And he's not talking about the new him in Christ, the way God sees him, his new redeemed Christ-like nature. Not at all. He's simply talking about that fleshy part of him that sin grabs onto and battles against. And that's what he's lamenting. In that, he says, nothing good dwells. And that's true. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned how we as believers are like Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days, and it was then that Jesus called him forth from that tomb. When Lazarus came out, he was still wrapped from head to toe in his old grave clothes. And as believers, we're a lot like Lazarus. We were dead in our sins, and then Christ brought new life to us. But even so, we still find that we're still bound in some of our old grave clothes, that fleshy part of our lives as believers that still clings to us. And Paul is saying, nothing good lives in those old grave clothes, in that fleshy part of me, and that's where the battle lies. And while our flesh isn't evil in and of itself, it is indeed the base of operations for your sin, if you will. It's the place where sin hangs on to us. It's the place where sin still has some influence and pull in our lives. And Paul laments that part of him. And I understand it. Oh, that we would hate sin like Paul. Oh, that we would lament our sin like Paul. Oh, that we would so eagerly desire to be holy in every way that we're frustrated like Paul was, that we still have to battle against sin today. Why? Because too many Christians love, accept, embrace, ignore, and live with their sin. Paul speaks out against that kind of Christianity here in this passage. I will fight this till my dying breath for the glory of God. I will not accept it. Never. Paul continues on in verses 19 and 20. He continues to stress the struggle that he is in as a man of God who wants to be perfectly holy and Christ-like and live up to God's standard for his life. Now, once again, please remember that here Paul is not saying that he was incapable of doing things that were good and acceptable to God. Not at all. But the context shows that Paul is simply, and Romans 8, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in Romans 8, okay? But again, the context shows that Paul is simply saying that he was incapable of completely fulfilling the perfect requirements of God's holy law and standards, and thus his lament. Because he wants to. See, as a believer grows in his spiritual life, he will have both an increased hatred of sin and an increased love for what is right and for what is godly. And as a desire for holiness increases, so will sensitivity and hatred toward sin, toward every sin. Paul's not trying to earn his way to heaven, okay? Understand that. He was already assured of heaven as a Christian. He's simply trying to please God in every way in this life. And whenever he couldn't do it perfectly, he lamented. He hates sin, see? He hates every sin. He's an example to us. Paul continues on with the fourth lament in verses 21 through 25. Let's go ahead and read that. You tracking with Paul? You understand what he's saying? I sure am. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. One of my favorite verses, oh, wretched man that I am. Anybody? You ever say that? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Good news, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So look, the fourth lament goes like this. I have a battle inside of me. Again, he's saying the same thing over and over again. Can you relate? The battle. I have a battle. a law. Evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. What are you saying, Paul? Paul is simply telling us, duh, that he's in a battle. Come on. That's what he's saying. And the battle is this. In his heart, right? In the deep recesses of Paul's soul, in his inner man, in his mind, he hungers and thirsts for God and the things of God with passion. But in his flesh, he still has these old grave clothes on that weigh him down and that pull him in the opposite direction, and he hates that. I want to do good. And evil is close at hand. It's right there. That's the law, the principle, the reality that's at work in my life as a believer, and it frustrates me. It angers me. And it's battling my every good thought, every good intention, every good motive, every good word, every good deed, and every good act. And it's right there, and it's never far away. It's looming close by, because that's how the wicked one works. Anybody? We know. We live it. We're Christians. We understand this. The pride, the lust, the jealousy, the anger, the tongue, the impatience, the judgmental attitude. It's right there. And thus the conflict. And as Christians, we should all expect this conflict in this life, shouldn't we? I mean, this is what this life is about. I mean, do we really think it's going to be easy? Not in this life. Hey, sometimes like Paul, you're going to find yourself a prisoner to the law of sin at work in your flesh. Sometimes, not all the time, right? Sometimes, when you sin, that's what you do. Non-Christians aren't made a prisoner to sin. They're already there to begin with, but whenever we sin, we fall prey and become sin's victim in that moment. Sometimes you're going to be held captive and give into it. I hate to say it. And here Paul is simply describing the battle that we all face as believers. Again, Romans 8 talks about how we can gain victory over the sin that battles against us more and more and more. But before we get there, Paul is simply expressing the struggle that we all face against sin as human beings, even as saved human beings, even as humans, as Christians who desperately want to honor and please the Lord in every way. Guess what? It's going to be a struggle every single day of your life. Encouraged? Hey. This is life. This is our reality. But not forever. Let me ask you, why do you sin? Don't tell me that. Rhetorical. Is it because God didn't do a good job when He saved you? Some people like to blame God for their sin. Is it because your new nature isn't complete, that God doesn't see you as pure, that you're not saved somehow? Is it because you're not prepared for heaven just yet and you still kind of need to earn your way there to help God out a little more? He didn't really do a good job of saving you, and so you have to. Is it? Come on. Not at all. Why do you sin? Because sin is still there in your humanness. That's why. You're still fleshy. And you will be until you finally go to be with the Lord soon. But that said, our call is to never give in. Never quit. Keep growing and waging war against the sin that beats against you till your dying breath. That's what Paul is saying. I hate it, but I'm going to battle it to the very, very end. Paul did that. Be like Paul. See, Paul is gaining victory over sin in his life. He's growing and maturing in his faith. Of course, he was never content though with where he was at, because he wasn't completely Christ-like yet, and he's not going to stop until he's perfect. And that's not going to happen in this life, but he's going to keep going to the very end. That's why he laments the way he does. But his hatred of sin in his own life also caused him to never settle for spiritual mediocrity. And that is very good. We need to have that kind of attitude as Christians who want to be fully pleasing to the Lord. We're in a battle. So what? Keep battling. When you fall, get up and move on. And God will move you along. Use the means that He gives you and move on, see? That's what this is all about. Now is the time for the battle. Now is the time for the struggle. Now is the time for the fight, for the war. For soon we will be in eternal glory. Until then, what do? You battle on. You battle on. Every second, every hour, every day. That's what we do. Well, after these laments that I think we can all relate to, Paul gives us two final thoughts for this chapter. The first thought is this: my only hope of rescue is Jesus Christ. I love that. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death, from this flesh, from my humanness, verse 24. And here's one final wail that goes out, one final cry of frustration against this battle that we face as believers. And I think we can relate to this. Oh, wretched man that I am, I feel that way regularly. Man named Haldane says, men perceive themselves to be sinners in direct proportion as they have previously discovered the holiness of God and His law. And the closer you get to God, the more wretched you'll feel, even if you're moving forward in your spiritual walk with God. That's how it works. Here Paul, as a man of God, simply desires to be all that God wants him to be. And he finds that he can't do it completely. And so he gives us this cry because he loves God so much. And his only desire is to be fully pleasing to him. In Philippians, he says, I just want to know him. That's it. That's all he wants. I just want to know him. I just want to please him. I just want to be holy like him in every way. That's all I want. And he's frustrated that he's not there. It's been reported that near the place where Paul was born, there was a tribe of people who inflicted a terrible penalty upon a murder. When a person murdered someone, it was their custom to fasten the dead body to the murderer, face to face, nose to nose, chest to chest, leg to leg, foot to foot, and that was to be the punishment until the decay of the dead body had infected the killed and killed the murderer. And really all it took was a few days for corruption and death to pass from the dead to the living and take his life. And as Paul looks at himself and the battle that he's in, he senses that he is face to face and chest to chest with something that is dead and corrupt, his flesh and his humanness. And so he cries, who will rescue me? Who will deliver me? Is there any hope? And to love God like that and to see our sin through the eyes of Paul. Is there any hope? What's the answer? Yes, there's hope. Verse 25, thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, there is hope. Amen. There is hope. What does that mean? Does that mean that we will arrive at perfection in this life? I believe that here Paul is it doesn't mean that. I believe that here Paul's looking forward to the day when he finally goes on to be with Christ and this battle will be over once and for all. That while as believers we're in a battle with sin and temptation throughout our lives, and while even though we will gain victory, we'll still not achieve perfect godliness in this life. Someday soon, though, we will. When we become Christians, we are justified, right? Declared righteous. We are saved. We're made right with God at that moment. Once we are justified, the process of being sanctified begins. That's what Paul's talking about here in Romans 7. Being holy more and more. Being made more godly. Growing and maturing in Christ. Sanctification is something that continues throughout life. And then when we as Christians finally die, God completes the process and glorification occurs. We disrobe this flesh. We enter into the presence of God and we enjoy God and His presence forever. And glorification is what Paul is talking about here in this verse. Yes, there's victory, little victories in the Christian life, of course, but ultimate victory, when is that? When will that come? When we die and go to heaven and we are glorified forever. Listen to this, Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Verse 23, not only so, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. In other words, as believers we have the Holy Spirit, as believers we have God in us, but we also groan in ourselves waiting for the final redemption of our body, you see. We are waiting for that final phase of salvation, for that day when we are fully freed and redeemed in our bodies as well as our souls. When we can discard this flesh of ours once and for all. And Paul is saying this, I thank God through Jesus Christ that the end of this conflict is going to come, and it's going to come when Christ appears, and we will then enter the presence of God and be glorified with Him forever. And I say, praise the Lord for that. Soon. Soon, soon the battle will be over. Soon the struggle will end. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. This perishable must be put on the imperishable and this mortal must put on immortality. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. And soon, no more battle. Soon. But before that happens, the battle. Get used to it. This is what we do. Paul gives a final thought and he says this, until I go home, this battle continues on. And that's his point. Hey, in the future, eternal relief and rest with God forever. But for now, battle on. That's what he's saying. In other words, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Until I get there, I'm in this battle. I'm going to fight this battle to the very end and I'm not going to give in and I'm not going to slow down and I'm never, ever going to surrender. Verse 25, so then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. See, in my heart, in my soul, in my deepest desires, I belong fully to God and my flesh pulls the other way, and thus the battle continues on. The battle isn't going to be over until Jesus takes us home and gives us immortality. Until that time, what do? We battle. Join the battle and join it with fervor. Join it with resolve. Don't sit back. Don't wait in the wings. Don't be a lazy soldier. Don't let sin have its way with you when you have Christ to help you. Don't be like that. No, be like Paul. Join this incredible battle to be fully pleasing to the Lord in this life. Commit yourself to being someone who is right there on the front lines of the battle, a good soldier for the Lord like Paul, always fighting, always frustrated with this flesh, but battling hard for the glory of God, knowing that the end for us, it's all good, right? It's all good. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we are a group of very frustrated Christians this evening, but also that we know what the end result is. That we are confident of that. We know we're going to heaven. We know the battle with the flesh will be over soon. But at the same time, Lord, help us to never be satisfied with sin in our lives. Help us to battle hard against it. To hate every time we sin. To understand Paul's heart here. To love you so much that we hate every single sin with passion and fervor. Light a fire under us. Help us to do what we do, not to earn what we already have, heaven, but because we love you and we just want to please you. May that be the reason why we do what we do. And because of that, may we battle on, never quitting, never getting in, giving in, taking ground spiritually, moving ahead, and yet never being satisfied with where we're at, because we love you and we want to please you in every single way. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.